We landed on the moon.
That movie's been around forever, and that scene is still funny to me. Hey, what's up? It's DeHuff. It's another episode of DeHuff Uncensored. Hope you're having a great day. Got a lot to get to. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And remember, today's show is presented to you by the great people over at Jad's Mile High Smoke. And of course, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the games are over, head on over to their online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or even unwind with one of their over 150 slot games. Head to betonline.ag right now and get in on all the action. Don't forget to use promo code BLEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. And speaking of starting, let's fire it up. Let's Let's get into those headlines.
Let's go! Let's go!
And now, here are the headlines.
That musical solo, you usually have to pay extra for that. I just gave it to you for free. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. This is crazy to me to think about. So there's an alligator missing after a petting zoo brought it to a Kansas City school. And then animal services were called out to find an alligator that went missing at that Kansas City school. It's at a middle school. The event happened about just over a week ago. And the agency said the school did not have proper permits to have the animals at the event. It's like, come on, dude. You're not even supposed to have an alligator there. Then you lose the alligator. It's a 14-inch alligator. It's not like it's ginormous. But, I mean, it's going to cause some damage if all of a sudden somebody's eating their lunch outside on a picnic table, then whack. Because who knows, it's probably not even on the school grounds anymore. It probably made its way somewhere else. Because they've been looking for it for over a week now. And as I'm doing this show, they had an update saying, as of this time, the missing alligator has not been located, nor have there been any sightings or reports. We have suspended our on-ground search efforts. We will continue to patrol the area around the middle school. Oh, how stupid. How stupid. Somebody's getting fired. We're not going to. Here's what's. One, it's sad because the alligator's mouth is taped shut for the safety of the students, right? For demonstration purposes. They didn't say how it just got up and disappeared. So I'm wondering, somebody must have stolen it if there's been no sightings, or, you know, it just snuck off. If it's out in the wild and it's mouth is taped shut, it's not going to last very long unless somehow it's able to work it off. But their jaws to open are very weak, very weak. Obviously, clamping down is another story where they can cause some freaking damage. But you look at that, it's like you're already doing something that is against the rules and apparently against the law. Because I believe I read that in Kansas City, it is illegal to have an alligator. Not allowed to have one without a permit. And then they're breaking the rules, breaking the law, and then they freaking lose it. You know, somebody's just like, dude, we're supposed to get a permit for this. What's the worst that nobody's going to find out? Nobody's going to find out. Then you lose it. And you're like, somebody's going to find out. Somebody's going to find out. Oh, my God. What an idiot. What an idiot. It's going to suck, though, if it is wandering around. At least it's summertime and there's warm weather and it's not going to have to deal with any cold snaps or anything like that. And sadly enough, I mean, there's probably plenty of wildlife around there for it to fulfill its needs if it can get the tape off its mouth. I'm not really concerned that it's loose. maybe I should be. I don't feel like it's it probably is a big deal, but I just don't see that. I don't know. But I mean, come on. It's going to chew on some squirrels and, you know, field mice, cats, dogs, those little yapper dogs. Those suckers, hey, they going to go down quick. Yep, 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 yep. I shouldn't joke about that. That's sad. We have our neighbor has, I want to say, like, is it Pomeranian? She has like 3 or 4 of them. Cute dogs. Noisy as shit, right? Noisy as shit. They have to be careful, especially, I want to say it was like in the spring, because all these hawks were swarming around our neighborhood looking for things to grab. And I've seen the hawks in our neighbor's front yard in the trees. Those things are gigantic up close. And they got to be careful because those Pomeranians are easy pickings if they're out there. They might make a lot of noise. All that's doing is just going, oh, hey, hawk, I know you got really good eyesight, but just in case, we're going to make some noise for you, all right? Yep, 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 yep. Come and get us. Dinner served. So they got to be careful. I joke about it, but it would be sad as hell. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to throw a stick at the hawk. Drop it, please, God. Drop it. Ugh, that's scary. It's the same thing like a few years back, just down the street from us, literally down the street, somebody saw a mountain lion. And I'm like, that could be a problem for small kids, too. So I guess the moral of the story is be careful. You don't know what's lurking out there. The mystery. This thing could get into some contaminated. I just ruined the joke right there. I was going to say contaminated water like the Ninja Turtles. Next thing you know, you got a kung fu fighting alligator in Kansas City. It's a tale as old as time. Boy. Flawless. Flawless delivery. Man, that'd be my luck. That's, again, why you don't break the rules. Follow the rules, people. Because guess what? When somebody says, we'll be fine, who's going to find out? Stuff like this happens. That's how. That's how people find out. And hopefully nobody's kidnapped it or gator-napped it. And then if they did, I mean, hopefully they at least take care of it. And then they don't. But if somebody invites you over to their house and you live in Kansas City and they're like, you ever had, gator? Be like, oh, shit. Think we found it. So this morning I was listening to, I was flipping the channels, and I got to KOA. I think they're 94.1 on FM and 850 on AM. Right? So I'm listening to my buddy Ryan Edwards, who I used to work with. I taught him how to be a producer. He actually got, it's funny because I sent him a text after I was listening to him because he was doing a guest appearance on their morning show. And I was like, you sounded good job, blah, blah, blah. You've come a long way type of thing. And I'm really proud of him because there was a point where he wasn't sure if he wanted to stick it out in radio, and now he's a host of a show, and he's been a host for a while, for a few years now, and doing a great job. But anyway, so he's like, yeah, I've come a long way since getting yelled at by Rich Eisen on the phone while you're in the background laughing. So quick story on that, and it's going to go into my next topic, but real quick, I was showing Ryan the ropes of radio, and I was producing something for our show. We were producing, I don't even remember what show we were working on, but anyway, before our show, there was a live syndicated show, the Jim Rome show, and we didn't have to do anything. So that was all taken care of with the computer. So we're just sitting in the control room, and I just turned, I don't want to listen to Jim Rome, no offense. I just, talk to me, clones, what is up? Hey, Jim Rome, let's talk about it. Don't think so, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a fan of Jim Rome. I've met him once. He's a good guy. I just, it's not my cup of tea. And that's fine, right? So we turned down the volume in there so we don't have to hear it. And one of our hosts asked if we could get Rich Eisen on the phone. And I have Rich's number. I, as a producer, I have a lot of crazy numbers in my phone, right? So Ryan, being an eager beaver and wanting to help out, he's like, hey, Duff, can I call Rich and try to book him? Sure. Sure you go, fella. And then I continued working on some audio production. And it was so quiet in the control room, I could hear Rich Eisen. So Ryan calls him. Keep in mind, it's like 11 or 12 o'clock in the lunchtime. So Ryan's like, hi, Rich, it's Ryan Edwards from 104.3 The Fan in Denver, blah, blah, blah. And he's trying to do his pitch real quick, and then Rich just rips him a new one. Where the fuck did you get this phone number? You piece of shit. Listen, I know a lot of people like Rich Eisen. This is just another example of bad interactions with him. He called Ryan every name in the book and was just a complete ass. Guess where I got the phone number for Rich Eisen? From the NFL. They have a directory that they put out every year. That's where I got the phone number. So, Rich, be mad at them. They're the one that put your phone number out there. But he is just shredding Ryan. And since we have the volume down in the control room, I can hear everything. And Ryan is just taking it, and his face is bright red. And I start cracking up, and I'm like, what the fuck? What a dick. He was an asshole to Ryan. Lose this fucking number, I believe, is the last thing he said. And Ryan's just looking at me like, what? And I've told you before, I've had a couple run-ins with Rich where, I mean, two big names, he's very kind. When he talks to behind-the-scenes people, unless you're kissing his ass, big time, he's a complete prick to you. Don't mind saying that. Don't mind saying that. It's not just me saying it. It's other people as well. So I thought that was funny. So anyway, I'm listening to Ryan Edwards, the guy that was famously in a small circle, ripped apart by Rich Eisen. And I'm listening to Ryan, and he's talking about something that's going to occur in the NFL, most likely. The NFLPA is reportedly proposing major changes to the offseason schedule. And I kind of like it. The OTAs is basically where they're just, oh, you got mini camp. You got rookie camp. You got mini camp. You got OTAs, and then you have a break, and then you got training camp. And that break is like a six week. Break. So what they're proposing is you still have all those programs, you just bunch them together and you don't have that break. Instead, you have more of a break for like the coaches and stuff in May. And there's a lot of pushback from the coaches, but it seems like everything that I'm hearing, talking to Ryan and a few other people, is that the majority of the players like the idea. Like, well, that'd be nice to not get your, essentially you get your motor running, getting ready for the season, and then you got to take over a month off. Then you come back and get ready for the season again. It's kind of messing with your mind and messing with your body. And the NFLPA is really pushing for this to happen where it's all just connected. Now, that being said, based on reports of what this change will do, is still in, let's see, probably in May and June, you'll probably still be having players in the office, essentially, going over playbooks and stuff like that. But the actual physical work doesn't actually start until June, like mid to late June, and then rolls through. I like the idea. It makes sense to me. And maybe, I'm not a doctor, maybe this might help with injuries. We'll see. We'll see. I think it's fascinating. I'm also curious what that's going to do to sports talk radio, because they live for this. Okay, you got the, you know, NFL's over, you know, the season's over, Super Bowl's over, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you got the NFL draft. Then, like, the next month, you got, rookie camp. Then you, a little bit later, you got mini camp. Then stretched out a little bit further, you got OTAs. Then you got the break. And then by the end of July, training camp starts. So what is going to happen now? So it's spread out nicely for sports talk radio, especially. It's giving them a lot of content scattered out. Well, what's going to happen now is there's nothing really to talk about if they're in class studying playbooks. You don't have reporters going there and at least trying to get making something out of nothing when you're looking at, you know, some basic scrimmages and basic route running and stuff like that. They're not going to have that until late June. Now you're going to have this even bigger dead spot for sports talk radio that has a hard time, especially if they're teams that have a hard time, or excuse me, if there are stations that have a hard time talking anything other than the Broncos. And I'm kind of talking to locally here in Denver, 104.3 The Fan. So that means they're going to have to really change up their lineup and be able to spread themselves out a little bit more and get more individuals that can talk baseball, which is gross, right? Because you got the Rockies. If the Rockies were good, this wouldn't be that big of a deal. But now it's just like, oh my God, it's going to be very challenging for them. And I feel bad for them. Because you can only talk about, well, even like, okay, the Nuggets and the Avalanche only made it to round two, right? So now it's like, you can only talk about them and their off-season programs and what their changes need to be for, not very long. You can't talk about it. Same thing with the Broncos. I think if anything, this is good news for individuals like me in this program where we can talk about everything. We're not tied to one topic. We can talk about North Korea sending over poop balloons to South Korea. We can talk about that. We'll spend some time on that. Dive into it. Take a deep dive into some feces talk. It's going to be rough for them. So the NFLPA is hoping this happens next season, next offseason. So 2025, expect things to get very different in how that affects what you listen to is going to be very interesting. Just know I'm here for you, okay? Talking about wieners and poop jokes and God knows what else. By the way, did you see the Denver Broncos announced two more inductees into their Broncos Ring of Fame? safety Steve Foley and tight end Riley Odoms. Congratulations to those guys. When the hell are they going to put Mark Schlereth in there? Come on. He's my guy. Is it because his name's really long? Just put Stink up there. Everybody will know it's Stink. One of the best nicknames. Because I forget that, like, if I'm talking to somebody and I just say Stink this, blah, 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 and they're like, who are you talking about? Who's Stink? What does that mean? I'm like, oh, it's Mark Schlereth. He used to pee himself on the field a lot. That's not where he got his nickname, though. We can talk about that another time. But anyway, I think that congratulations to those guys. I think there's some other individuals that deserve to be in there, probably before them. But we'll see. It's always fun. It's always good to debate that stuff as far as the Ring of Fame. But hey, Jad's Mile High Smoke is the first and only licensed cannabis bar in the state of Colorado. It works like an alcohol bar, but it's for cannabis. It's so brilliant. Got to swing by Jad's Mile High Smoke right now because you can purchase up to an ounce of flower or 8 grams of concentrate, consume what you like, and take the rest home. They have something for everyone. Like I said, they got a wide selection of flower, pre-rolls, concentrates, and edibles, and they provide everything you need to consume it with. They have 7 big screen TVs, so when you're hanging out, you can watch your favorite sporting event, maybe host a watch party, or you could just rent a Nintendo Switch and hang out, do that. They got some bean bags and some cushy chairs. It's so freaking nice. And they even have a quarter arcade with pinball machines, vintage Street Fighter, and Mortal Kombat. It is the place to be to just chill and focus on you. They're open daily from noon to 10. Happy hour runs from noon to 4:20 Monday through Friday. Jad's Mile High Smoke, it's just 9 minutes from Coors Field. You got to be at least 21 or older to consume. No outside product. Just buy it there. Jad's is at 7667 Washington Street. Just GPS to Jad's. I don't know if you saw this, but it's about freaking time. Amazon Fresh is joining Walmart and Target in correcting their pricing. They like jacked up prices. And then all of a sudden they realized sales were going down. People were pissed off. Well, now they're realizing, shit, we're fucking over our customers. So they're slashing prices on right around 4,000 items. And that's a good thing for us. Expect more companies of that magnitude to do that. It's going to be harder for smaller companies, smaller entities, whether it's a grocery store, department store, or a restaurant to do the same thing. It'll be harder for the smaller entities to do that. But these big ones, they can afford to do that. And it's nice to see that they realize, like, dude, we got to be the good guy for once. We got to not be the giant dicks and be a polite dick, okay? Be a polite dick and think about your customers. So that's good that they're doing that. Because I don't know about you, but it's so defeating. Like, my wife sent me this article. She's like, there's a good percentage of American society right now that thinks that eating out is a luxury expense because prices are getting so high. And it's a double-edged sword. There's only so much they can do. We've talked about it a lot. I'm sure you're kind of tired of it, but that's what you guys get when people are saying you got to increase wages. That's a big part of it. You know, it's a vicious cycle. It's a very vicious cycle. So hopefully this kind of balances out, and hopefully what happens is things start to deflate and prices go down. And hopefully what that means too is it spreads out and smaller companies are able to compete with that, and they're able to lower their prices too as well, so they're not hurting themselves financially. Because if if I go to a mom and pop store and it's significantly more money to go in there, I'm probably not going to go in there unless it's really, really good. This also goes back to, listen, if you want to charge more money on especially food, like a restaurant, you better be making it really good, and I better have a good fucking experience. I get so frustrated when you are spending a decent amount of money and the people that are serving you act like they wish you would die. I was at the Gaylord. Sorry. Got bad customer service there. Everybody except for this one person was great. And that one bad apple just fucking ruined the day for me. And she was just being snotty to me and several other people. Everybody else, super freaking nice. One bad apple can screw it up for your company. I'll go back. I'm not saying don't go there. I'll go back. But that's what you got to be careful of when you're running a company. You go in, if your industry is customer service, take a step outside the doors and then walk back into your location and take a look at everything from the customer's perspective. Are your employees greeting people? Are they friendly? Or do they put a smile on your face? What's the smell like? Are there burnt out bulbs? Is there sticky floors? Stuff like that. People, you got to put yourself in the customer's perspective. And that's kind of what Amazon Fresh, Walmart, and Target are doing. They're putting themselves, they're listening to their customers complain about the pricing. And part of that is you lower the prices, people end up spending more. Oddly enough, it's like concessions at a stadium. I always bring up Mercedes-Benz Stadium was one of the first ones to do it. They cut prices on their hot dogs, their beer, everything. They ended up making more money because people were like, shit, beer's only $2 or whatever it was. I'll buy 10 of them. I'll buy 20 hot dogs, please. Normally, I only get 2. But hey, when there's this good of a deal, might as well indulge. When in Rome, am I right? So that's the weird thing is, I think for a lot of these companies, they could, like Walmart, Target, Amazon Fresh, they can cut these prices on things, and they can survive. But not everybody's going to be able to. So that's going to be interesting. Now, what's funny is on the other side of the spectrum, Cracker Barrel came out and said they're going to hike their prices after the sales dropped. That's according to their CEO. And he's admitted that the chain is just not as relevant. Yeah, I think that's... I went in there. I didn't think it was that... It reminds me of like when I go in there with all the smells and stuff. It's very cluttered. It feels like you're going to an old person's home. At least the one I went to, and I imagine they're all somewhat the same. And I feel like the people that frequent Cracker Barrel tend to be the older generation. And let's be honest, the hard truth is a lot of those people are dying off. So that's another reason why your sales are dropping. So I think Cracker Barrel, their food is good. You need to do an overhaul because it just appeals to the older crowd and you're not working towards getting the newer generations in there. I remember in media, you realize that you're really good in one older demographic, but then after like say 5 to 10 years, you realize we're losing those people. They're dropping off. They're dying. They're moving. Whatever. Blah blah blah. There's so many reasons why they could drop off, and then you realize you're not getting new ones in that demographic, even though you should be. It should just be evolving. Well, you weren't working on the younger generation coming up and replacing those people. So then you got this problem of, well, shoot, we weren't appealing to the younger generation, and we were only appealing to the older generation. Now the older generation is gone, and now we're stuck with nothing, essentially, other than our dicks in our hands, basically is what it is. So that's kind of what I feel like, that's what Cracker Barrel did. They weren't focusing on the upcoming customers. They were only focusing on the customers they had. So it'll be interesting to see what they do and see if they overhaul and try to just clean up, because it is very clustered in there. I don't like going to Cracker Barrel because it smells like an old person's home and it looks like an old person's home. And that sounds like a dick thing to say, but it's true. So anyway, you know what we need to do right now? Let's jump into the mailbag.
Mailbag. You've got mail.
I put out on X, I said, hey, give me some random thoughts. And Nate Lundy, a guy that I work with, used to be my boss, and now we're partnered up. He's over at Mile High Sports, runs the whole thing. A genius, some might say. Mostly him. But he wrote in, he gave me two things. He said, why do we drive on a parkway and park on a driveway? The only answer I got for you, Nate, is most likely when they started naming parkway and driveway, that was probably in the era where, it was frequent that, like, you could go to the market and you could buy a bottle of, like, opium or cocaine in a bottle, whatever. All those things. That's probably why. People were high off their minds when they're like, let's call this where we park our cars the driveway. Yeah, it's a good idea, man. Where we drive, let's call that a parkway. Man, you're brilliant. Right? That's the only thing I can guess. I don't know. It makes no freaking sense. No sense at all. Then he followed up with, why would Santa choose reindeer? Caribou, elk, and moose are all bigger and stronger. He simply was infatuated with that fool's blinking nose and chose the weakest of them all. I imagine he yelled that when he wrote it. Arrgh! Angry typed it. That's a very good question. He had a thing, you know. I don't know. He has a fetish for reindeer, I guess. I don't know. Moose are ginormous. There's a moose at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo down in Colorado Springs, and it was standing up one of the times I was there, and boy, that is scary. That is intimidating. Santa is a crack. Speaking of doing drugs, Santa Claus, you crackhead. That's probably Nate. Maybe that's why he chose them. He chose the reindeer because they were easier to obtain. They're like, it's smaller. Not gonna get put up a big fight. That is kind of funny. It'd be funnier if, like, Santa had. To be honest, it would have been great if he had polar bears. Surprised they didn't do polar bears. And then if, like, kids get out of hand and be like, oh, this kid's a little shit, he doesn't get anything. And then they're like, release, you know, what are some of the reindeer's names? I don't want to say Rudolph. Release Blitzen. And then he unhooks Blitzen. And then everybody, like, turns away from the potential drama that's about to unfold. And then Blitzen just shreds. Then he comes back. And his coat is no longer white. It is a pink hue. Oh, God. And that's why I don't write children's stories. fucking Santa. Hey, let's let a creepy old man break into our house and, you know, leave us gifts for our kids. Weirdo. Such a creep. Anyway, thanks for supporting the podcast. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Big thanks to Jad's Mile High Smoke, as well as Bet Online. Go to betonline.ag. It's the Huff Uncensored. You guys have an amazing day. Let's continue to move forward. I'll talk to you next time.